It's PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Shree, special guest host Jackie Danowski from Flywheel, and I'm PVSB, also from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 29th, an ACDS annual week, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them masterfully intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com, it's retail right now. Sheree, lead us off, would you?
Albertsons has been named the 2024 winner of the Webby Award for People's Voice Top Shopping and Retail App. I am so immensely proud of the shopper experience team, our engineering counterparts, and all of our cross-functional partners across the organization. Cheers to your hard work and customer obsession, said Jill Pavlovich, SVP of Customer Experience at Albertsons. 23 individual Albertsons associates were recognized in earning this award. Congratulations to all of you, and over to you, Melissa.
Best Buy and CNET are combining their ad inventory. Consumer electronics retailer Best Buy and digital publisher CNET are teaming up to create a new retail media model. The electronics retailer and the publisher are combining their ad inventory, allowing advertisers to buy across Best Buy Ads retail media network and alongside CNET's tech review-focused editorial content, and measure whether ads seen on either platform drove sales. In a month-long survey during which CNET content was displayed nationally across Best Buy's in-store TV walls, 86% of respondents said the content made them more confident in their purchases. It also garnered a 25% lift in purchase intent, according to the companies. Super interesting space as retailers continue to look for differentiation.
Thank you, Melissa. The National Association of Chain Drugstore annual meeting set to take place this week in Palm Beach, Florida. The annual meeting of the NACDS is set to begin Sunday, April 27th at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Featured speakers include Walter Isaacson and Arthur C. Brooks. NACDS annual is noted for the strategic meetings that transpire between retailers, consumer goods manufacturers, sales and marketing agencies, and other ecosystem service partners. If you're on a budget, make sure to get a hot dog at the poolside restaurant at $27. It is the least expensive menu entree offered at this five-star resort. Brian, Sheree, and Andrea are all in attendance this year. Closing it out, Jackie.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free hits shelves. Red Bull is launching a new permanent sugar-free edition this summer. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free combines raspberry and forest fruits with herbal notes of verbena. It is the second new variant introduced by the brand this year, and the first fully sugar-free flavor in its portfolio, aiming to attract new shoppers to the category. Red Bull editions have been largely incremental to the brand, with 50% of edition buyers being new to Red Bull as they grow their flavor offering.
Thank you, Jackie, and welcome as a guest host to the Fresh Four. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Hey, Sheree, I just booked my flight to the upcoming Grocery Shop Conference, September 19th to the 22nd in Viva Las Vegas.
Lucky you, Peter, but if you're not already registered, you can go check them out. It's a great CPG grocery event. Have over 100 speakers already signed up. Executives from Amazon, Sam's Club, DoorDash, Unilever, Whole Foods, and a whole bunch of other retailers, service providers, and brands come to the event.
As we know, the pandemic massively accelerated transformation in the CPG space, so it will be really interesting to hear from these innovative companies and their leaders.
Plus, Peter, there'll be tons of networking events, just as most of the other events in this industry. Opportunities for conversations, learning, etc., on-site as well. Should be a good time. I know, Peter, you're going to be there. And so will our Fresh Folk hosts, Andrea and Melissa. So come hang out with them and have a good time.
You can learn more about it by visiting www.groceryshop.com. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sheree Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sheree and Peter. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm one of the aforementioned CPG Guys. I'm PVSB. I'm also the Vice President of Partner Development at Fetch Rewards Mobile Loyalty Platform. As always, I'm joined on this educational journey about how brands and retailers engage consumers by my good friend and a thought leader in the consumer packaged goods world. He's always curious, which I think makes him the ideal podcast partner. Please join me in welcoming the other CPG guy, Sri. Sri, how you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, Peter. You know you're not supposed to get me singing on this podcast because that becomes a theme for the day. And now we're going to talk about Biggie Smalls.
Oh, boy.
And Tupac.
Okay.
East Coast, West Coast. And at the time of this recording, I was relocating to California from New York City in 10 days. Big move for us and the family, but looking forward. But Peter, can't wait to get this episode started.
Sri, have you bought your late season ticket package for Dodger Stadium yet? You can go see them win the World Series maybe again.
Here's what happened, Peter. I didn't have to. They're giving it away apparently because of how the season's going.
Well, they're already in place. Up,
they're bidding for a cent.
Going to the playoffs if the season ended today, Sri. That's the good news. Anyhow, thanks, Sri. Before we get to our guest, I want to remind our audience that all of our content, over 100 episodes, it's available on 40-plus podcasting platforms. You can listen to it on your home virtual assistant. And there's so much more if you just go and visit cpgguys.com. If you're watching on the video, there it is, cpgguys.com. And Sri, as always, it's free. We don't charge people for this, do we? We gotta start charging them. God, no. No, I wouldn't. We're not going to do that.
Nah, Peter. Content should never
That's
be.
Right.
Education and knowledge, no.
It's funny. On the back of my shirt here, it's one of the new models. It has a quote from, this will show my age, one of my favorite movies, Animal House, and it's the motto of Faber College. It says, knowledge is good. It's brilliant. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. I know Mark appreciates this.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So,
for all the kids listening, college is knowledge.
College is knowledge.
A new word.
And if you're not already following us on LinkedIn, please go to their site, or open their mobile app and enter the search term CPG guys. It'll take you to our page. And in the upper left hand corner, just click the blue follow button. And that way you'll keep apprised of everything we're posting on LinkedIn. It is our primary purpose. Our primary platform for amplification. All right. On to the main event. Consumer product information and other content is critical for success in a world of the term that a friend of Sri and mine uttered called unified commerce. It's more than just e-commerce. It's digital commerce. It's digitizing everything. But the point is, from supply chain to the consumer's final point of decision, whether they're shopping in physical stores, online, or somewhere in between, consumers now expect product content to be there to help them on the path to purchase. At this point, content is king, and companies that can help brands produce and distribute this content to the digital shelf are clearly extremely important. Syndigo is a solutions provider that supports their brand, retailer, and distributor clients with the efficient transfer of product information across consumer goods ecosystem. Joining us today is Syndigo's Chief Product Officer. He leads Syndigo's product strategy and innovation with responsibility for developing solutions that clients can use to create, manage, syndicate, and optimize their content programs for better sales. Please join Sri and me in welcoming to the podcast, Mark Detlich. Mark, greetings. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks again for inviting me and having me, and really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
That's terrific. Before we get to the questions that Sri and I have prepared for our conversation, our audience loves to multitask. So first, can you tell them where to find Syndigo on the web, where they can learn more about your business? And then would you give us a brief overview of your business focus?
Sure. So you can find us on the web at syndigo.com, as well as our LinkedIn page. And I think hopefully you guys can provide the specific details on that for everyone. But as an organization, you know, we are really focused on enabling global commerce. I think as you had mentioned, Pete, it's really about helping to enable that commerce by enabling content to efficiently flow between trading partners. And we like to think about it as, you know, getting the right content into a format that's fit for the purpose that you need it, whether it's in-store or planogramming or an e-com or in a marketplace, et cetera, getting it sent out to the right place in terms of those endpoints and syndications and all of the locations that need your content, and doing it at the right time, right? As efficiently as we can, and helping people get new items set up into retailer assortments where we're needed in as quick of a fashion, and really getting out in front of consumers and shoppers as quickly as possible.
That was a very concise and terrific summary. So thank you, Mark. And we will, to your point, include in the digital liner notes of this podcast links to both your LinkedIn profile and Syndigo's place on the web and Syndigo on LinkedIn. So with that in mind, why don't we get the conversation going? I'll kick it off with the first question. As I kind of mentioned in introducing you, Mark, the rapid growth of unified commerce has accelerated the need for content throughout the path to purchase, right? From your perspective, what have been the key product investments that Syndigo has been making to enable the seamless and expanded flow of this content between brands and their retail customers?
Well, you know, I mean, Syndigo's roots actually go back, you know, probably over 30 years in terms of managing, creating, and publishing product content, right? Originally into stores, right, for planogramming, shelf space, things of that nature. And so over the years, we've made a significant amount of investment, especially in this digital transformation with the advent of e-commerce and all of the channels now that the product content needs to live within. So our platform, core platform to do this is called the Content Experience Hub, CXH. And, you know, it is a single native cloud-based SaaS platform that really enables kind of the end-to-end process, everything from creating content to enriching it to syndicating it to creating shopping experiences, doing analytics, et cetera, and combines all of those features of kind of a PIM, a DAM, syndication, digital shelf analytics into an end-to-end platform that really helps to improve data quality, helps to minimize the transfer of all this information between lots of other fragmented systems and applications. And, you know, we really service both brands as well as retailers and those distributors and wholesalers that sit in the middle. So we've made investments on all sides for those guys. Kind of our latest that you may have seen in the news here just in the last 30 or 45 days was a recent acquisition we made of a company called Riversand. Which was an MDM company to kind of expand our capabilities there. So happy to share more information along those lines as well. But it really, you know, helps us double down on our focus to get really great shopping experiences created from really high quality content and get it out into the sales channels that brands need it to be in.
Marcus, Chief Product Officer, you got a fun job of developing and evolving and maturing the Content Experience Hub. But one of the questions I've always been asked in this journey of leadership in a brand ecosystem of some sort has been, when we invest in a product, what's the ROI? What's the incremental growth that the company can get, et cetera? So what's the connection, Mark, between the Content Experience Hub and incremental growth or ROI, whether it's a brand or a retailer? Like, how does that come together from this Content Experience Hub?
Obviously, there's a lot of investment that goes on for a company that's trying to get their product content well-managed, well-governed, and sort of distributed out to their trading partners. So ROI is a key topic. You know, if we're working with brands, right, you think about the importance of having that quality information and the information that's really required just to be on the shelf in an e-commerce space, right, and be able to get your new items set up and out there. You know, if a shopper can't find your product, they're not going to be able to buy it, period. So it's critical that you've got the appropriate attribution, the appropriate imagery, the appropriate descriptions, et cetera. But beyond that, there's also information that you have to provide for the supply chain, right? In our case, it's GDSN information, part of the GS1 global standards, right? Making sure that all of the data and information about, you know, how to move and ship and store and procure and buy and sell your product throughout the supply chain is critical information as well. And, you know, if I'm a consumer and I buy my product, on the website, for example, and I relied on the information that you provided, and then it's not what I expected when it shows up, what am I going to do? I'm going to turn around and return it. I'm going to send it back. And so now I'm incurring, somebody is incurring a bunch more costs, right? Because I didn't get what I thought based on the information that you had previously presented to me. So there's a lot of ROI cases there. On the retailer side of things, you know, it's really all about connecting with the shopper, reducing the time in which it takes to set up new products, to grow your assortment, to bring in new things for your shoppers. You know, we've got one client, for example, that just recently told us that their new item setup time has reduced now from 2 weeks down to an hour, right? Based on kind of utilizing our platform and getting much higher quality data through the channel. And, you know, a lot as well on those retailer sites, you guys probably see it as well. When you go to a product page and you intend to buy a product, not only do you want to know the facts about like the product title and the description and everything, you're going to scroll down and you're going to see rich media experiences. It might be a video gallery. It might be a comparison chart or a spec table or something like that, recipes or whatever it may be. That rich media is critical to shoppers in their path to the purchase, right? And you want to make sure you've got that kind of content out there to help convert the shopper. And from our research and from the pages we support like that, we're seeing anywhere between 12 and 36% sales lift for products that actually have that enhanced content and rich media out there available on the page.
Mark, we are an educational podcast. And so before I get to my next question, I'm a little disappointed, Sri, you let Mark throw out some acronyms without asking him to explain them. So I got to cover off on them. There are three in particular. Mark, what's a PIM?
So a PIM is short for a product information management system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can go into sort of discussing how it fits, but that's what
okay.
it is.
And what is a DAM?
A DAM is digital asset management.
Okay.
So very similar, managing images, videos, all types of digital assets.
And what is an MDM?
MDM is master data management.
Okay.
And, you know, it is an alphabet soup, right?
Yeah.
But believe it or not, all these things need to kind of work together in concert in order to really do what's required.
All right. Thank you for that. Just needed to cover off to make sure. You know, there are a lot of people.
I feel like that was a test. Like, you know. No.
it wasn't meant to be. It's more that there are a lot of people in our audience that really appreciate when we explain what they are so they can then do the research. Because there are some people in our audience that aren't as deep into our industry as we are. And this
sure.
gives them the opportunity to do the research. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. So
we actually have financial analysts listening in, and I think it'll be helpful for them to finally get the decomposition of many of these
yep.
acronyms.
Yep.
That's a big reason why we do
yep.
it.
Yeah.
So
I'm happy to help.
So now on to my question. Would you please let us know about who I don't want a complete list. That could take you forever, but can you give us a feel for who your retailer partners are and what products and services are kind of connected to those retail distribution points?
Sure. So from a retailer perspective, I guess in general, we've got, you know, well over 12,000 clients out there.
That could take four episodes alone
yeah.
just to get through. So
exactly. But on the retail side, you know, we have think of any large global retailer that comes to mind, and odds are they're a partner of ours receiving content from us. We're doing business with them in many ways and across many verticals. I know we're here from a CPG and food perspective, but we also service durable goods, electronics, luxury items, industrial, healthcare, medical device, you name it, right? So the platform and our capabilities really crosses lots of verticals. We've got probably 1,800 of some of the largest retailers, marketplaces in the world that we send content to. We're syndicating information into them via, you know, whether it's automated exchange of information or getting them kind of the content as they need it. For many of those retailers, our platform serves as almost what the terminology would be like, kind of a vendor central, like as the portal where all of their suppliers come to send information in order to get their product actually set up on that retailer's website or in their store, and then also send ongoing information and updates of imagery and attribution, et cetera, about that product. And in those cases, we're also offering, we help those retailers reach out to their supplier base. We help them educate the suppliers on how to give them high quality data and the kind of information they need. We educate them about the business rules and things that are needed in order to do business with that retailer. We provide them, you know, the portal or a way to get this information submitted, provide them back reporting. And really, it's a collaboration with those retailers to almost run campaigns, if you will, with their supplier community to really, you know, kind of make this connection. Many of those retailers as well allow us to put that rich media, the enhanced content onto their product pages. So we support millions and millions of product pages at sites all over the world to provide that information from a brand directly into that shopper experience. For retailers, we also have what we call the marketplace, right? Which in a lot of cases, maybe you're a small local retailer. You don't have a giant API integrated system and all these people doing product management and everything, but you still need images for your Sunday newspaper circular. You still need an image to put on your website. You still need some basic information to sell one of the products. The marketplace has a couple of million CPG products in it that are completely updated and fresh in terms of the imagery of the products, the label information, the content that people have access to in the marketplace and can pull down, you know, kind of as they need it, or maybe their advertising partner needs access to it, or some other third party can come in and grab that and pull it down from the marketplace. And one final point on since we're talking about retailers, the unique service for them as well, we do a lot of content creation, and a lot of retailers these days have private labels, right? And they need some arms and legs and a system that really allows them to create content for their private label just as a brand would, right? And we provide that as a service and help those clients do that in the retail space.
Mark, you referred to Vendor Central. Of course, you know, you said you're like the Vendor Central. You are referring to Amazon's Vendor Central, I assume.
Yeah, just that. I mean, I guess people tend to use it almost as a generic term these days, right? Lots of retailers have that supplier portal, a Vendor Central location, something that is their area, their piece of capability that allows all the suppliers to interact in sending them content. So I tend to use it as more of a generic term.
Understood. Thank you for that. So I want to jump from there to scale. You mentioned, you know, being global, and the PIM is a start, and there's the content experience hub. But is this content experience hub in the domain of scale brands only? Like only large brands can really afford to participate in this. You are global. It is directly with the retailer. You referred to Vendor Central as the best example, the generic example. What about for small brands, startup brands, those that don't have those millions of dollars in revenue or $1 billion in revenue? Is there like a separate offering, or is there like another offering that they can work with for this content experience? Because they very much need to get their product info over as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we are built for scale from the small to the largest organizations out there. It still is a common platform, right? So because we've built a cloud native, 100% SaaS-based platform, microservices architecture, it's very scalable. And we have many clients who only need maybe to manage some product content for a couple of SKUs and send it to just one endpoint, one retailer. Right. You know, that's all they do. They're a small brand. They're a small mom and pop, you know, kind of manufacturer that doesn't have that huge distribution channel. They use the same platform. It's just scaled down. Maybe they don't have all the breadth of the modules and all the breadth of all the service offerings because they frankly don't need it. But if they did, they could easily just sort of turn it on and kind of grow along with the platform. And so we have clients that are doing that with, you know, a handful of SKUs to a handful of endpoints up to the largest brands in the world. You know, we've got, you know, clients with maybe as many as 9 or 10 million digital assets in our platform, 2 or 3 million products and SKUs that they're managing, right? So extremely large scale. So it really kind of goes up and down. And the nice thing about it is it's a common platform that can support all of their needs.
Mark, let's dive into one of the acronyms that you used earlier, notably PIM, or Product Information Management. What are its various components, and really what does it take to build a formal PIM?
Sure. So it's probably best to talk a little bit about this in context. So traditionally, right, people would have said my MDM, which was the other one phrase that we used, the master data management, is a place where internally within my organization, I'm going to lock down and govern the information about my product, right? And it'd be create, you know, sort of what people would refer to as the golden record, right? The definitive like information about the product. And that feeds like all kinds of systems, order to cash. It feeds your supply chain systems, your ERP systems. It goes everywhere, right? What the PIM does is takes sort of some information from that like very tightly governed kind of internally focused information about the product. And it says, well, wait a minute, the marketers that are out there, the brand managers that are out there need to enhance and add to and modify information about the product that is especially relevant to shoppers and consumers, right? So what they want to be able to do is add attribution, add SEO terms for search engine optimization. They want to be able to add imagery. They want to be able to add all of the things that create a nice buying experience and really explain the value proposition and benefits of the product, et cetera. And they need a place to do that. And typically that's the PIM. It allows versions of this information to exist, to be modified, to be enhanced, to be expanded, and then also targeted to an endpoint, to a given, you know, retailer recipient, et cetera, as you think about downstream. And I think today, more and more what we're seeing is that this traditional concept of like these things as disparate systems, an MDM and a PIM and a digital asset management for all my imagery and videos and things that remain disparate, you know, are not sort of what companies are looking for these days. They're sort of a more modern view to what this ecosystem needs to look like. And it really is kind of a platform that serves all those purposes for governance of data and control of data, and as well as enhancing and enriching the data, but then also actually syndicating and actually like publishing and getting it to where it needs to go and ensuring that it actually got there, right, successfully, and is the right kind of information for the shoppers that are accessing, you know, that end channel. And so that modern PIM, if you will, that sort of modern view to this is, I think, coming more and more into play. More clients that we talk to are saying, I need all those things. Can I just do it in sort of one place rather than all of these various components? And we think that that makes a lot of sense. You know, context is very important to the kind of product data that you put out there. And by combining a lot of these things together, that's where you can start to get the necessary context to have really high quality product content and manage it from the PIM and all areas downstream.
I just wanted to say to our audience that you used a term called syndication. And while it's not an acronym, mm-hmm. it does what I want everyone to understand. It is the industry lingo that is descriptive of how content gets from a brand to appear on a retail site, is the syndication or distribution of that content. Sri?
Thank you, Peter. So, you know, we've talked various components. We said Content Experience Hub, but we've also said DAM. Mm-hmm. Peter just referred to the syndication aspects of this. How about, Mark, can you give our audience a full overview of all the tools and solutions you offer, including, I'd love to know if you offer actual services to get all these stood up,
sure,
support it, go forward. And then as you add more retailers, how does the brand actually get content over to that retailer, your partners?
Yeah, sure. So the Content Experience Hub, again, common, you know, end-to-end platform, it really starts with the ability to ingest content or create content, right? So if a given brand already has product information sitting in another system and they just need to sort of get it into more of a PIM and a syndication capability, we can ingest that. As we talked about earlier, there are many clients that we actually create content on behalf of them. So we have people send us physical products into warehouse locations. We have people located in distribution centers of key retailers that basically take all the photography and create the imagery for their products and enter all of the label data to create sort of that relational database, if you will, of the information that's required for a product. People can send us digital image flats of their product labels, things like that. There's a way to get started to get your data into the system and ingest it. After that, there's a way to manage your data and you need to be able to add those attributes that we talked about from maybe your marketing people or your advertising agencies. You want to add additional imagery, things that expand on the data that is just the basic product information to provide additional attribution, additional information, search engine terms, things of that nature. On our side, in enrichment and management, we also have what we call Syndigo Wellness. And so for a lot of your audience that are probably food and beverage manufacturers, right, based on the ingredients that are in a given food product, we have the ability to sort of audit those ingredients and understand whether that product qualifies for certain claims, nutritional claims. Like, is this food really paleo friendly or keto friendly, or does it qualify as low sodium, et cetera? Things that are maybe not written on the package itself, but are important search terms and important things that maybe a retailer, a grocer really wants to have in their environment because shoppers are shopping those lifestyle terms. They need to know what products actually qualify for that or not. So that's an example of additional kind of management and enrichment of the content. The next kind of piece to that puzzle is syndication, right? And I think, you know, Peter, as you mentioned, it's really all about publishing and distributing this content from a brand or a manufacturer to the endpoint that they want to get it to, be that a direct-to-consumer site that they may have, or through authorized retailer sales channels, or a marketplace, wherever it needs to go. What the Content Experience Hub really is built around, we have deep relationships with these retailers, and we understand what is required to get content into their systems to be able to go live in their downstream systems. Those business rules and data quality rules are built into our platform so that a brand right away knows, is my content qualifying and ready to be sent to a Walmart, a Target, an Ahold, an Albertsons, or wherever the endpoint might be, because all of those people have different requirements. It is not a one size fits all. And there is no, we like to say, there's no easy button for syndication, right? You just can't say, go send my data. There's a lot of intellectual property and knowledge built into the system to allow that to happen, you know, effectively, and then track and monitor whether that publishing actually worked. The next step is really those rich media shopping experiences. So we have a module that allows our clients to create and author that enhanced content, be it an image gallery or feature bullets or a comparison chart or a video tour, whatever it may be, that can then be actually placed on the product pages at the retailer, again, providing a much richer shopping experience. Maybe it's a guided selling experience or a product selector or things of that nature. And so that enhanced content we find really drives shopper engagement. It really drives conversion and is an important, you know, piece of the puzzle. The last sort of, you know, piece of this end-to-end process is really the fact that you need to optimize and analyze, is this all working, right? We've talked about the level of investment and money that people have to put in to make this content available. And a lot of times you can't afford to do the same level of information for all of your products, right? It's just too big of an investment. And so we have a full suite of digital shelf analytics that helps brands understand how their products are performing on the digital shelf. What's your share of search? What's your share of the shelf? So if a consumer goes in and types, you know, cereal in the search bar, what brands and types of cereal come up in the search results, right? It's very important to understand, because, you know, as a shopper, you're not paging down, you know, 5 or 6 pages to find what you want. You're buying what you see on the first page of the search results, right, is usually what happens. And so we want to help brands understand how to get better placement, how to get better results from search or things of that nature. Is their product out of stock? Pricing intelligence, minimum advertised price or MAP compliance programs. For marketplaces, are you winning the buy box as the first party manufacturer of the product, or is some third party reseller winning the buy box in the marketplace, right? So there's a whole suite of those applications that help you understand, did my content really do what I intended it to do? What I intended to be live and existing on the website, is it really there? And how can I better optimize it? And all of this, all of these modules are kind of contained in a common single platform that really minimizes the data moving around between lots of other fragmented systems and gives you the ability to take action right away on those analytics, because you've got the PIM, you've got the DAM, you've got the other components right there that kind of make it a very easy full circle end-to-end business process.
Anyone familiar with this podcast knows the best place to hide a dead body is on the second page of search results, because no one will ever find it. But that being said, you did mention reporting and analytics. So let's go a little deeper on that if we can, Mark. What reporting tools can your partners expect when they work with you, be it on the brand side or the retail side?
Sure. So, you know, obviously we have lots of content. We have lots of data. We have lots of insights and reporting capabilities. I would say everything from understanding the quality of your data and completeness of your data to how ready is that data for the end use that you're intending it to go to, right? Be that a planogram software in store for somebody for shelf space management or an e-commerce endpoint or a marketplace, right? When you did want to sort of syndicate and push that information out, reporting and information about, well, how successful was it, right? Where is it in the publishing cycle? Because again, different retailers, different endpoints will have different ways in which they access this information. It's not always instantaneous. There are different workflows and processes in place. So we try to provide transparency and visibility to where is your data inside of this two-sided network. Data integrity, right? So I intended to publish to the end retailer website a certain set of images and a certain set of attributes and information about my product. What really is there? We scrape the live website and we provide something called Compare with Live, where a brand can see this is what was in my PIM. This is what's actually live on the website. Where is it the same? Where is it different, right? And if it's different, why is it different? And that helps people have conversations with their retailer partners, like, why did you change my data? Or did something just go wrong when I sent it to you? Or would you like it in a different format? You know, is there a better way that I can do this? Because we're not on the same page with what we intended to do to tell our story. So all of the other digital shelf analytics information that I mentioned, you know, is available in the platform. And really, when you think about how, you know, clients access this reporting, we've got curated reports that, you know, answer business questions that we know our clients are out there and have. We've got dashboards that really try to boil up the data and information into some insights that you can take action on. As you can imagine, if you're in a company that has, you know, a very large SKU catalog going to many, many sales channels, the amount of data that you have to update and manage becomes overwhelming. We try to help people hone in on exactly where there's bad data or where something needs to be changed or where action needs to be taken so that they can efficiently do their job. And, you know, if you want to ad hoc, just create your own reports. We've got something we call Report Builder, right, which basically gives free rein access to the database, and you create whatever kind of reports you want, schedule distributions, have it automatically sent to the people you want to send it to, kind of a full report building, you know, suite and capability. And, you know, probably as a final point, what I'd say on reporting is that there's a lot of clients who really say, you know what, I just need an API to get all the data, right? Because what I want is to like bring all this data into one of my business intelligence environments, because I'm going to combine it with shopper loyalty data or sales data or other things that I have, or I want to slice and dice it, you know, in a different way. And so we provide a full suite of API access to just sort of get the content, get the analytics, get the information, and you can do with it, you know, what you need to.
So Peter, API, should I let that one go?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we actually, in a previous episode, two or three episodes ago, we decomposed API.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Do you remember?
Yes.
So I'm going to jump from API, Mark, to let's get to a fun piece. Predictions. You obviously talk to retailers all the time. They are your partners. At the end of the day, both you and brands are at the service of retailers and shoppers and consumers in store and online anyway. So what are your retail predictions now that we are emerging from COVID? Is the e-commerce frenziness going to sustain?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's a great question, right? And so if I had the crystal ball with the exact answer, I'd be in good shape. Here's a point of view. I mean, I think that the growth that we've seen, you know, the e-commerce growth in the last year just during the pandemic times is probably equal to an entire decade's worth of growth from before. And we've seen more and more categories move online, right? Like, you know, people would not have thought about buying certain things from an online experience before, that today it's like second nature, right? Whether that's groceries and food products and fresh products, et cetera, to buying a car online, right, without ever having seen it. And with all the delivery options that retailers have innovated in to, you know, pick up in store or pick up curbside or deliver to the house, et cetera, it's not going away, right? Like the growth will continue to accelerate. And the key there is to remember, though, e-commerce, even with all this growth, is still probably only 30% of total commerce, right? Like there are still people, you know, walking into stores and shopping and buying things off the shelf. And so, you know, from our perspective, you can't, it's not an either or. This has to be an and equation. You have to think about in-store and online and the entire shopper journey, right? You need an omni-channel view to your content. You know, if I'm a shopper, I'm expecting that the information and content I see on the shelf in the store about your product is the same thing I'm going to see on the webpage, right? And I'm going to get the same experience. And I want the in-store experience to be somehow transitioned into the digital economy and give me that same experience on the web. Even if I'm not making the buying transaction, right, on the website and online, I'm still probably doing my research, my comparisons. You know, parts of the shopper journey that are online today are never going to go away. And I think people are just becoming more and more, you know, comfortable with that. And, you know, mobile device usage and the mobile device access to all of this information as well is just going to continue to fuel kind of the need for all of this content for that online experience and also to make sure you have a healthy in-store experience as well. So it will continue to grow, but it has to be omnichannel.
Mark, at least 50% of my physical store visits involve me at one point or another in-store opening up my smartphone and searching for product content. So my warning to any retailer in the omnichannel business is that if you don't make it available to your shoppers through your mechanisms, there are other companies that are more than happy to do that. I can think of one in Seattle that'll take it right away from you. So very, very important.
And I think, you know, along the same lines, Peter, you know, what we tend to find and, you know, what we're doing with our content for some of our clients is using that context, like you just said, right? Like, where am I? Am I in the store? Am I accessing information in a certain way? Am I in a certain zip code? Am I in a certain day part, right? Am I in the morning or the afternoon or the evening? Am I on a mobile device or am I on a desktop? Like, all of this context means I could create a different shopping experience for you, right? It's not just personalization to you and who you are as a shopper, but it's the contextual information about any group of shoppers given like where they are, how they are using certain technology in their shopper journey. And we find that you can tailor and modify product content to fit those contextual situations and have a much more targeted and rich environment.
I think we'd be remiss before you leave, Mark, if we didn't ask you about something you mentioned when you started this conversation. Syndigo recently acquired Riversand. Can you give us a little more detail on that and really help us understand how this is going to benefit your mutual clients?
Sure. So we're very excited about the Riversand acquisition. You know, being kind of a best in class in syndication and analytics and the PIM as Syndigo had been participating, you know, Riversand is equally the best in class MDM, multi-domain MDM platform that's out there for master data management. And so the ability for us, as I mentioned, a lot of times companies have both an MDM and a PIM and all of this other downstream platform. So it's a natural sort of extension for us to be able to say, let's really make sure that we're bringing efficiencies and quality to the entire product content experience. And there's a real sort of leverage and benefit to doing that as a holistic process. Equally exciting, though, outside of just the product domain, is that Riversand, as a multi-domain master data management system, also supports the customer master, location master, supplier master, all these other domains of master data that are critically important to a company. And again, to our previous conversation, provide context that maybe the product domain can utilize, right? If I combine customer and product, I could get some very interesting insights about the product journey, or I can tailor content to a different kind of experience. So we tend to think about it. We use the phrase that 1 plus 1 isn't just 2. It's not even just 3. 1 plus 1 is 11, right? Like, we see the opportunity for really a lot of innovation and thinking about the digital transformation of commerce in a much broader ecosystem than just kind of a PIM and MDM. And really, that's where we're most excited to move forward. We think this delivers tremendous value for our clients to be able to better manage and syndicate and analyze their product content. But we think we can also help to address some up-and-coming business challenges and really deliver some new value and exciting new innovations to our clients through the acquisition.
For our audience, I'll remind you that if you visit cpgguys.com, you can find our podcast on 40-plus platforms. You can reach our LinkedIn page, our Instagram page, our Twitter page. You can find a list of our favorite podcasts that we like to listen to and other documents, and you can connect with us. It's all available for free. Just go to cpgguys.com. And we are an audience-driven podcast. We want our content to be reflective of what you want to learn about. So the best way to do that, go to ratethispodcast.com/cpgguys. Choose the Apple platform, leave a review, give us a rating. We greatly appreciate it. Our guest today has been Mark Detlitz, the Chief Product Officer at Syndigo. Mark, thank you for appearing on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Oh, this was fantastic. It was a lot of fun, and thank you for the opportunity, and look forward to the opportunity to do it again.
Links to Mark's profile and to Syndigo on the web and on LinkedIn. Just go to the digital liner notes of this podcast episode. Hey, Sri, this was very informational. What do you think?
I had a blast, Peter, because we talked a lot about content. You referred to a friend's message early up front on what happens if you don't get content on the first page and it's not accurate. And when you're in store, that you're browsing your actual digital device, your smartphone, and usually if you can't find the product, you're going to walk away and the trip shifts somewhere else. So, and then we talked a lot about all the various tools that Syndigo has in what I call content 360, mm-hmm. or supporting content end to end across the board to make it holistic and make it easy for the consumer to find. So my net takeaway, Peter, real deal, huh?
Yeah.
Syndigo?
Yeah, I think so.
In terms of content. So I'm looking forward to learning more in the industry about how Syndigo plays this out. It's fantastic that y'all have been around for quite some time. Y'all have amazing retail partners. And it was a pleasure to bring you on board the show for this episode, Mark. And Hope we'll get to talk some more with you in the recent future.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was great spending time with you guys.
Sri, as always, thank you for joining me on this journey. Let's keep it going. And to our audience, thanks for joining us for this episode. And we look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.